podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Same Old Arsenal podcast, the day after we beat Man United. Yes, I've got the biggest smile on my face. And good evening to everybody who is top of the league. Wave in the chat room, wave. Okay, welcome to the show. This is becoming the most happiest podcast I've ever done. Honestly, show after show after show because of our wonderful team. So back with me tonight. Oh, sorry, was we not live, Nigel? I do apologise. I just pressed the buttons. I don't know. Back with me tonight is below me, Cookie. How are you, James?
Oh, I'm very well, Amanda. Top of the world at the minute.
Top of the tree. Young Christopher, how are you doing?
I've actually got a headache because I drank so much alcohol yesterday after that glorious football match that I didn't get a very good night's sleep because I went to bed late because I was watching Match of the Day and then re-watching it. I've had a whole day of work and I've had a headache but this is the kind of headache that I'm happy to have because it's a headache induced by the awesomeness of our football team.
Before we start, Chris, is that a... Batman apron you're wearing?
That is a Batman apron, yes.
That is lovely. For people that listen to this on audio, Chris is sporting the most divine Batman apron.
Oh, I love it. For anyone that doesn't know, yes, because Chris is just about to go and have his dinner. We've got an hour. We've got to get through so much. I would like to say good evening to a few people. Nigel Plum, evening, Amanda, Chris and James. Good evening to you, GB. Good evening. There's so many. Tracy, good morning. I think it is for you because she's down under. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the show. I love it. We've got our regulars. Robert, good evening. Glad you could join us. Where is our Lynn? There's our Lynn. I don't know what you've said, Lynn, but let's go to that one first and then we'll come to that after. Stefan Lorenzo, good evening. I'm a believer. We're going to get to that in a moment. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. I actually don't know where to start. I don't. It's been one of those days. I'm just going to tell you a little story. I work with a Tottenham fan. I did not say a word today. I don't say anything anyway. I don't. I think the best thing to do is not to say anything and to be as smug as anything. That's what I would say. Anyway, however... he mentioned the Fulham game that's actually kicking off in half an hour. I said, oh, are you going to watch it? And he said, yeah. And I said, I didn't say anything. And he went, you lot are getting on my nerves. I said, why? He said, you were absolutely awesome yesterday. You are becoming unplayable. That is from, and when I say a mad Tottenham fan, I went, well, it's very nice of you to say, finally, you've woken up. Oh, I think I said to him, why is Harry Kane signing a contract with you? Does he not want to win trophies? And his words were, some players are more loyal than wanting to win trophies. And I went, sums up Tottenham, doesn't it? But he was being nice. To be fair, he was being nice. So I think people are starting to realise, and I did say last week, if we beat Man United, I will start to get on the train with James Johnston, who has been believing for weeks, as Carl has as well. So... we beat United. I'm now on the train of thought thinking we could actually do this. So, Christopher and James. Actually, I can call you James tonight, Cookie, because there isn't another James on.
Lucky you.
We were all there yesterday, weren't we? So, first of all, Chris, are you in the North Bank?
I sure am.
Cookie, where are you? Are you north?
Also in the North Bank, yeah.
Right, and I'm in the East End Upper. So, what we were facing was the new banner above the Ashburton Army, wasn't it? The Arsenal. You saw that banner. And over your heads was the flag, the new flag that the Red Action have done? Or are you not down that part? You're down that part, yeah?
Not over my head. I'm block five by the corner flag.
Right, fine.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm upper.
Oh, you're upper.
Yeah.
So we're sort of all down there. None of us are down the clock end, are we?
No.
I actually don't know. I mean, Chris, do you want to sum it up? Cookie, do you want to sum it up? Do you want to go through the whole thing? Should we ask questions?
Let's relive it all. I'll be completely honest with you. Before the match, I was nervous. And I wrote about it. And I was speaking to a few people in the pub beforehand. And I was actually just honest. I was saying, look, I'm nervous. I don't fear Manchester United. If we play to the best of our ability, this isn't a matchup. Like, we are better than them. Hands down, full stop, you know, new paragraph. But what I feared was VAR intervention or, you know, a simple instance where even if it is something like it's a red card that, you know, sends us a man down or something because there's one moment of madness. That's what I feared. Thankfully, we didn't get that. But what we did get, which really surprised me, and I guess I'll probably segue into Cookie to talk about it, we went 1-0 down within the first 15 minutes. Was it 15 minutes? It was something like that.
It was 17, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like 17 minutes. And normally, we're the ones that start fast. We're the ones that get the early goal. And we were having the better share of the possession and play up to that point. But yeah, we went 1-0 down and then had to answer it.
Yeah, but I did think we did have really good play for the first 10 minutes. But interestingly, we all went for wins on the podcast, didn't we, last week? I went 1-0 Martinelli. I had this thing because Martinelli, we're going to come too soon. I thought he was going to score. But 5 minutes before I went into my seat, I just went and said hello to a couple of friends. And he said, what do you think? I said, oh, do you know what? I've just got this really weird feeling they're going to score first. I said, don't think we'll lose, but I think they're going to score first. And I don't know why, James, I said that. Literally, as I was walking to my seat, I just had this feeling that I think we're such on a high. And now none of us really look for the team, do we? Because the team picks itself.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, that starting 11, what would you change about it at the minute? I mean, even when Jesus comes back, I'm not sure if I'm putting him straight in the team for Nketiah at the minute, given the way he's playing. And I'm sure we'll speak about him in his own little section later on. But it was, like you say, I agree. I think it was a really feisty, fiery opening 5-10 minutes in the way we've started games. We've become accustomed to starting at such a high tempo. And we had, you know, about three-ish corners in the first couple of minutes. So it was looking promising. But I did feel that when United start to get a bit of a grasp on the game, then we just let a few unfamiliar errors come into our play. We were just giving the ball away too often. There just wasn't that chemistry, cohesion, that really quick passing that we've been used to seeing. I'm not too sure why that was. I know there was a lot of, I don't want to say criticism, but a lot of negativity coming our way in the build-up to the game because United played in midweek. I actually think it would have done us a world of good to have played in midweek as well. I'd have loved us to have had that Everton game that we're due to play in the build-up to this game. Firstly, because Lampard's now sacked and we've got the new manager bounce to look forward to, but also because what a game to play just before you play United. We would have had such good momentum with us if we'd have won that game. But I think United just looked maybe that little bit sharper because they had that game against Crystal Palace. But so I'm sure we'll get on to later. It didn't last for too long.
Well, weirdly, Chris, and talking about the Man United, I kept saying to Carl, it's like we played Thursday. They looked fresher than we did, didn't they?
Yeah, it was an odd one. But I think I make Cookie right there. I think there's an element of they had like the cadence of being able to, you know, having played recently. So you're always, maybe they were always going to start a little bit better. But actually what United did, which was interesting, is I noticed this in the first half particularly, they pushed McTominay right up and they were pressing us quite high. So they obviously wanted to win the ball back quite high, yeah. But they're just not as good as us. And some of the way in which we can get out of that high press trap that teams want to set, like with players like Ødegaard, some of the passes like Zinchenko and Partey. That's the great thing about our team. They can get themselves out of trouble because some of the passing range of our players is just amazing. So actually after we got the first goal, do you know what I really loved actually? We went 1-0 down and I looked up at the players and there's Martin Ødegaard doing this. Like, come on, let's lift the stadium. It's like, come on, let's do this. All of the players were just, it almost was like we were angry. It's like, no, we're not having you come into our gaff. We're not having you come and bloody our nose with your only shot on target like you've done on so many occasions. This is a different Arsenal team. And we only had to wait, 8-9 minutes before we were level?
It's interesting. It just felt, it feels like, doesn't it? Even though we go 1-0 down, James, I'm not worried anymore. I mean, obviously, if it was 88 minutes gone, you'd be a little bit different. But you just think, and one of the things that Arteta constantly bangs on about every single week is us fans. And they go 1-0 down and all of a sudden, do you not feel like we're not bothered? We just go, okay, we'll just kick off and we'll start a game. There's no tension. I know it was early. Does anyone know what time they scored? Was it about
17 minutes.
Yeah. So 17 minutes have gone. Was you worried, Cookie?
I think I was a bit shell-shocked because it did come out of nothing. I think, you know, although we weren't playing at the top of our game, United hadn't really threatened or done anything to worry me as such, but it was just that loose bit of play from Partey, and it is individual brilliance from Rashford as well to first of all take it round Partey and then to take the shot on. I mean, he rifled that ball really, really well, and taking my Arsenal glasses off for a minute, he really was good yesterday. He's looking like a different player. But yeah, it was just a little bit of just shock in that moment. But no, like you, I don't feel any reason to be worried, because one thing we have shown this season is that we've got a real knack of scoring. I think the only game we haven't scored in this season is against the best defence in the league in Newcastle, who were so good. And if we'd have had Trossard for that game, then, you know, it could have been a different story, because he ended up, you know, being something of a difference maker towards the end of the game. But with so much time on the boards, I mean, well over an hour of football to play, there's just no reason to be worried. You've just got to play our game, be patient, and the chances will inevitably come. That's the beauty of this team. We've got so many players that create something out of nothing. If Saka's not doing it, Martinelli will. If Martinelli's not, Ødegaard will. If Ødegaard's not, Partey might. So it's nice to have those options. And yeah, there's just no reason to be worried at all when we go a goal down.
So weird, isn't it? I'm just going to put this comment up, and I don't know how I'm going to say your name, so I'm just going to call you Izzy, because I think it's easier. I know exactly what you mean, Amanda. After they scored, first I told my friend, relax, we will come back, and lo and behold, we did. My confidence in us playing at home is so relaxed. Tracy said they are playing panic-free football. Chris, do you agree? Was you worried at that moment or not?
No, but I haven't been worried for probably the last 5 or 6 home games anyway. Like, away matches are very, very different, the atmosphere, all of that sort of stuff. But in home matches, when we've conceded, it doesn't matter if we concede the first goal, if we concede an equaliser, the response of the fans, and I feel it too, and it's almost like this, it's the symbiotic relationship between fans and players that exist. It's having such a positive impact, because my response to us going behind was just to cheer louder. Come on, lads, you can do this. And everyone around you does that as well. And that kind of collective, unified sort of approach amongst fans and players, I think it transmits to them. I think the players have talked about it as well, about how they can feel the vibe in the stadium.
I honestly, and it's just, I wasn't worried at all. And what I would love to say, I should have started the show off with this, but I think because of my mic issues, it threw me. Manchester United came to us for a point. Let that sink in. Every time they went level, or we were level, they time wasted. De Gea obviously is going to get an Oscar, isn't he, for what he did.
It was shocking, wasn't it?
It was like, so embarrassing.
Didn't get touched.
That is right where I sit. He's literally facing me. And I went, what is going on? It's embarrassing. If that was Ramsdale, I'm telling you now, I'd call him out for that. Manchester United came for a point, Cookie.
Yeah, and it sums it up when they took Anthony off for Fred. When it was 2-2, that was kind of sacrificing the game, because that was kind of one of their only outlets. And when they did that, it just felt like they were conceding the ball. They were just falling deeper and deeper into their own half. And it was very much a game of, right, you've got to come and try and break us down, which I'm not going to say it was easy because they are a team that has defended well this season. But with, like I was saying earlier, the amount of chances we create and the quality we've got, we're always going to carve those openings out at some point. And thankfully, we got there in the end. I would have been infuriated if we hadn't won this game, I've got to say, after what happened at Old Trafford earlier on this season. I wanted to win this game so badly. I thought it would be more comfortable than it turned out to be. And although the stats and everything was in our favour, certainly didn't feel quite that dominant on the night. But I think you can say the better team won in the end. And it's not quite a 3-0 I predicted. But, you know, the important thing was getting the 3 points and making up for what was a yeah, such a frustrating day at Old Trafford. I mean, I think they were better yesterday than they were when we lost to them back in September. And I think that's kind of credit to United. But like you say, they just defend better as a unit, and they did ultimately come to get a point in the game.
Yeah, can I just jump in on just what you're saying about the stats? Like, I thought the same thing. When we scored that last minute, there's nothing nicer than a last minute goal, because it means that the opponents don't have a chance to respond, but also it really sucker punches them, and the exhilaration that you feel is amazing. But at 2-2, I was like, nah, it's been an even game. Ramsdale's made some saves, da 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 da. When you look at the stats, now I've just got them here. Like, yeah, we had 25 attempts at goal. They had 6. Like, they basically, the first goal they scored was a worldie. All right, fair enough. You give that to them. Every dog can have its day. The second goal was Ramsdale mistake. And, you know, it was, I just think it was a bit fortunate. I think Martinez just threw his head into something, and it just happened to loop up just very, very, I thought that was a very fortunate goal. The goals that we've scored, we've had to work for all of our goals. We had to work for the, Eddie worked for the, we worked United well for that header. The second one, Bukayo Saka, an absolute peach. And then the third one as well was a really well-worked goal in terms of build-up. So it really felt like we had to work it. But yeah, we had like nearly 60% possession. We had like 555 passes to their 427. That second half for the last 20 minutes was an utter battering. And it's only when you look back at the stats and stuff, and then start to look at the territory and dominance that we had, you think, actually, no, that wouldn't have been a fair reflection, Tutu.
I was thinking that it was a fair reflection until you, like you, Chris, when you read the stats and then look, watch Match of the Day last night, and you're like, what was I thinking? It felt different. But I think, if I've got this right, they won 9 games. Right. So anyone that's thinking that they're going to be a pushover like 3 or 4-0, because Carl was a bit like that. I think he went 4-1 or 3-1. I was like, you're mad. For a start, they're a bit of a bogey team for us anyway. But let's just go back. So they score. Who scored from? I'm sorry, my Rashford. Brain.
Rashford.
Oh, okay. Martinez. So I just want to talk about that. It was an absolute brilliant shot by Marcus Rashford. You cannot deny that. It was an absolutely brilliant shot. But then he runs to our fans.
Right in front of me.
Yeah, right in front of you, because I know where you are. I could not believe what he was doing. Luckily, none of the fans reacted. They really didn't. It didn't look like they did from where I was sitting. And I didn't understand why he did that, because he's, you know, what did you see? He came running towards you lot, didn't he, Chris?
Yeah. And he was pulling this sort of, I don't know if that's a regular sort of thing that he does, but very sort of stern face, which is why when Saka scored, that was absolutely brilliant. Like, that was, and Saka comes running over to our corner as well and does exactly the same thing. And you're like, B, you're a legend, mate. You're 21 years old and you're a legend.
He said, didn't he? This is our pitch. Oh my God. You just love them, don't you? I don't know who I love more, Saka or Sinchenko. I think what we should do, should we just go through the players? I think we should just go through the players, because we just need to talk about them all, don't we? Right. Aaron Ramsdale, do you think he was at fault with a header cookie?
Yeah, I do, to be honest. I think he could have done better. He's got kind of two options. He's either got to punch it clear, or he's got to let Tomiyasu just get his head in it, because it's not really going anywhere. It's just going straight on Tomiyasu's head. In the end, he kind of gets caught in no man's land, flaps it, and, well, the rest is history. But yeah, unfortunately, I do think he was at fault. But I did make a really good save at some point in the game as well, which I can't quite recall.
It was Rashford, wasn't it? Just before, really strong left palm in the second half.
Yeah, so I'll let that go.
Yeah, no, listen, no one's perfect, are they? And they're going to make mistakes, aren't they, Chris? And especially goalkeepers. And he saves us more than he makes mistakes, that is for sure. But I do feel he could have done better, either catch it or let Tomiyasu get it, that is for sure. So he just literally punched it right to his head, which is a really weird header, wasn't it? Because he was actually on the floor, like lifted his head up. Okay, so Ramsdale. Right, so Ben White gets a yellow. I tweeted at half time and said, we need Tomiyasu on. Ben wasn't playing very well. Do you think the yellow affected him, Chris?
I don't know if it affected him. And I actually don't think it would have been too much of a problem, because if you remember, I think he got a yellow card quite early on in the first game of the season against Palace, and everyone was a bit worried about how he'd stack up against Zaha. Mm-hmm. But he ended up just managing that really, really well. So I don't think it would have impacted Wyatt himself, but I think Arteta was doing smart game management there, because I think Arteta thought, look, it's a big game. It won't take a lot for this referee to just make a decision if Ben White goes to ground, and particularly with Rashford in the form that he's in. Mm. Although second half, Rashford basically, I think for the last sort of half an hour or so, barely touched the ball. But I think that was a clever move from Arteta, because he probably thought, you know what, I'm going to bring Tomiyasu on. I'm not going to risk that second yellow. And Tomiyasu actually came on and played brilliantly, I thought.
Well, he did after about 5 minutes, but I just want to go to this comment, because this is, I agree with, welcome to the show, Daniel. White was not having a good game. Cookie, did you think that or not?
He definitely wasn't having his best game. I don't think he was necessarily bad, but given that he normally plays at such a high standard, it just wasn't at his level. And there's absolutely no shame in that. And it's so nice to have an option like Tomiyasu off the bench you can bring on, and there's just no dip in quality whatsoever. And he's able to offer something, you know, very similar, but also something quite different as well. So it's not like you're bringing on Cedric. You haven't got to worry in those situations. It was a smart substitution.
Yeah. And Bad Boy said, Tommy is Mr. Reliable. I think for the first few minutes, it just took him a few minutes to get into the game. Gave the ball away, bad tackle. And then I think he was great. I mean, I absolutely love Tomiyasu. Who's next? Is it Saliba?
Yep. Do I get to go on Saliba?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Good game. I think you could probably say that about both of our centre halves. I didn't think there was a lot they could do for the Rashford goal, because the guy's taken a pot shot from like 30 yards. I thought there was probably a question in the first half over the, I think it was Anthony had a shot that Ramsdale palmed away. But again, that's another shot from outside of the box. They weren't getting in behind, and that's testimony to how good our centre halves are. Gabriel and Saliba. I think both of them just played well. I didn't think they really had too much to do, particularly in that second half. All they were doing was mopping up the ball and recycling it and delivering it to our midfielders, because we were camped in their half for probably about half an hour of that second half, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Any thoughts on Saliba, James?
I can only really echo what Chris said. I mean, they couldn't really have done much on either of the goals. Gabriel did all he could to try and stop the Martinez one, but just really solid. And we just limited to United to just having shots from outside the box, which, like you say, Chris, is testimony to how solid they've been.
Yeah. Okay. Gabriel. I love Gabriel. There's just something about Gabriel, Chris. I just love having him in our defence.
Yeah, there were a few people earlier in the season, and I'm on a couple of WhatsApp groups where people are saying, I think Gabriel might be a problem, but I've never thought that. I think he's a very, very quality, accomplished, left-sided defender. And also, left-sided centre-backs, decent ones, they're not easy to come by. So when you do find one that's good, you've got to keep hold of him. And so, yeah, fantastic for me. Both of them, as a pair almost, I just thought Saliba and Gabriel. It's a bit of a weird one, because you concede two goals and you think you have questions over the defence, but I don't think anyone in that back line, apart from maybe Ben White, was a bit shaky, but I didn't really think anyone had a bad game.
No. I just need to, like, prepare myself for Zinchenko. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go and talk about Tierney again, but Zinchenko, when he first joined with Jesus, my City mate said to me, Jesus is amazing, just needs to add goals. Zinchenko is going to get found out. I tweeted him today and I said, when are we going to find out about Zinchenko? Because he's getting better and better and better. Left back, midfield, striker, winger. He is everywhere, Chris. Did you see his heat map yesterday?
Yeah, it was probably all, I haven't seen it, but it's probably all over the place. I think what City fans are probably thinking about is him playing as a left back. He didn't play left back for us. He starts on a team sheet as a left back, but he pops up everywhere, doesn't he? And it's because of, I actually think Zinchenko deserves a lot of plaudits, but I think his team around him deserve plaudits as well, because whenever he's marauding, you either get Xhaka filling in or you get Gabriel shifting across, the whole defence kind of shifts across. So I do think we should give some props to other players who enable Zinchenko to move across the pitch. But second half particularly, I mean, he was just immense, absolutely immense. And he's had one or two fitness problems in his career. And you just hope that he can just maintain that fitness for the rest of this season. He's had one injury, but if he can stay fit for the rest of the season, what a player we have.
Even Bear Boy said he was even helping out in the right wing attack at one point. He was everywhere, wasn't he, Cookie? Just absolutely everywhere. He's like Mikel Arteta's dream player. I mean, as much as we were over the moon, Jesus joins, and we were like in awe, Zinchenko's just been as good, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, these two games against Spurs and United, he's shown why he's come from a title-winning team. He's just elite. He's such a good footballer. And I never saw this side of his game at Man City because, like you're saying, Chris, played as a kind of out-and-out left-back, really, when he was there. For us, he's just so much more than that. He's combining the left-back role with the central midfield role, and he's just... I don't even know how I would describe his position because he's just, he's an anomaly. I don't know how you say it, but he's just popping up absolutely everywhere and just makes so much happen for us. I love the guy. I absolutely love him. And taking away the actual technical aspects of his game, which is far and away some of the best we've got in the team, just his passion for us and the game. I just absolutely love it. When we went 3-2 up and he runs into the North Bank, it's swallowed up by the crowd at full time where he goes over to the clock and he's just giving all that on his chest. It's just want to give him a big hug. Just love him.
He's amazing, isn't he?
He is. And his wife actually said, I think after the game too, they couldn't believe they had the song. I don't think he was treated at City like the way he is with us. He's becoming... Like a hero. He's like becoming a warrior, as somebody said. And I so totally get that. And I absolutely love him. But I love Tierney too. And it's such a shame that it's the same position, but it is what it is. So, oh dear. Right, next one. Oh God. Where do we start? Let's start with Partey. A couple of fans I've noticed social media wise have been saying he's been giving the ball away. I'm not talking about yesterday, just generally. I've not noticed that, Chris. I think Partey's been exceptional. But yesterday, I did notice that, actually.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. When you get big moments, like big chance moments, and if there's a mistake, that almost gets highlighted more. And because it was Partey trying to make that forward move for the Rashford goal, and he just got cut out by Rashford, and then he got nutmegged, and Rashford's smashed one in. So I don't think he had a terrible game. I think if you were to give it sort of a ranking out of 10, you'd probably say it's a 7 out of 10 performance. But that's still a good game. I mean, he's still part of that midfield, which just dominates teams. With Xhaka, with Odegaard, we dominate teams and we move the ball so quickly from side to side. And he's a big part of that. And so he was doing all of those things yesterday. And perhaps just because I think maybe one or two big chance moments, unfortunately, like the goal, ends up people would then, you almost, that colours your overall impression of his performance because you're only thinking about those big moments.
James?
Yeah, I did notice a very mild bit of sloppiness in the game against Spurs, maybe for the opening 15, 20 minutes. But apart from that, I mean, he was immense in the game against Tottenham. And yeah, I did notice it yesterday. It certainly came to the fore a little bit more. I mean, he was at fault for the first goal we conceded. There's no getting away from that. He lost the ball. I think it was a poor pass. And then Rashford's just absolutely done him. You know, it happens. It's football. And, you know, he did have a slight off game. It's not like he was bad. Not by any stretch of the imagination. It's just his passing was a little bit loose, but he's still so good at the defensive side of the game. In the second half, some of the balls he was putting out wide were incredible. Really, really, really good. He's just so good at moving the ball quickly, spreading the play, being that defensive shield we needed him to be. Yeah, it wasn't his best game, but, you know, we still won.
So Melissa's saying he's still better than the 4 out of 10 he originally rated himself. Did he rate himself 4 out of 10 for yourself?
Yeah, that was... Was that a couple of seasons ago when he first joined? And that's just because he spent a lot of time injured, took a while to get in, into the rhythm of things. When he did start to get into the rhythm of things, he'd then pick up another injury. So I think it was probably about a year ago, he sort of rated himself of that, which I thought that was harsh. But yeah, he's a minimum 7 out of 10 player. Most weeks we'd be getting 8s and 9s out of him. So no problem with Partey whatsoever.
I just hope he's over these fitness issues, because we all know that's been a bit of a hindrance in his Arsenal career. But before he came to us, he'd barely missed a game for Atletico. So I'm hoping now he's got over that little hump, we can just rely on him, because he's been in the team a long time now. Like, he's not had a niggle for since the start of the season, really.
James.
I'm tempted fate. Oh, shut up.
Stop blocking it, please. Oh, my God. We can't survive. I'm sorry, without Partey. I think we can cover most other positions, but we
can't.
Viva
El Nenny.
I don't want to jump ahead, because we still want to talk about this game, but we've got the FA Cup on Friday. With that in mind, what you just said, Amanda, would you rest Partey?
Well, I'm going to get to the FA Cup, young Christopher.
All right, I'll shut up.
I'm going to. Let's just go through our players, and they've got other bits to talk about. Okay. Odegaard. Incredible. Just incredible. What a captain. What a player. £30 million.
It's mental. That's like three Antonys. No, so, sorry. You can get three Odegaards for an Antony. That's just to put that into perspective. I am on record on this podcast waxing lyrical about him. I have my pinned tweet, which I basically just retweet myself every week at the moment, because I just love him so much. And the thing I love about him, again, people that listen to this regularly will probably be bored now, but the range of passing, his vision just baffles me. Every game, it baffles me how good he is. Like, his range, his vision. But then also the little things, like I said earlier, you know, we've gone 1-0 down and he's looking up at the crowd and he's saying, no, come on, let's raise it. Let's make some more noise here. We can get back. And it all helps. All of that, the little stuff like that, all helps. But as you said, Amanda, fantastic captain. What a good example to set as well.
Him and Xhaka, I took a video of them clapping the North Bank when we finished. We'll talk about Xhaka in a sec. And I just went, they're my captains. Just brilliant. Anything to add, young James, about how amazing Odegaard is? Someone just put her garden. That's why it just threw me a little bit. I love it when people say that. Odegaard. Mr.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief, but it was just one moment in the game where he won the ball back off, I think it was Fernandes, and he went to ground and he just shielded the ball and then somehow managed to get it out of danger and pass it to someone whilst he was on the floor. And I was just looking at him thinking, we're ridiculously lucky to have a player like you. He's phenomenal, worthy of the armband. I absolutely love him.
It's interesting. I think you're talking about the one that Carl Stark's talking about. There was one pass to Xhaka yesterday that was just outstanding. He did. I think that's the one you're talking about, Kike. Honestly, it was breathtaking again. I mean, we are so lucky to have Odegaard. And just to think there were people that thought they didn't want him, and I got it wrong, and Daniel corrected me, it was 35 million. But he's worth about 80 million now, at least. I mean, I just don't know what to say. So when Partey plays and Xhaka play, it's just great. Xhaka just can go much more forward than he ever could. Christopher, yes. Xhaka yesterday. You know, there are times I don't even know Xhaka's on the pitch. That's how good he is. He has definitely improved on his discipline, which is major for us. Yeah. And a backup captain, superb.
Yeah. There is an air of authority about our midfield these days. Like, I feel like psychologically, opponents get onto the pitch and they know we're going to have a tough game today.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal absolutely boss and control the midfield. We control territory, we control possession, we've got methodical build-up, and it all is because of Xhaka, Partey and Odegaard, that three in the middle, and the way that they move the ball. You know, again, Man United just couldn't, in that second half, they just couldn't get near us. And every time they tried to release the ball or get any kind of angle for any passing lanes, it just wasn't there, because either a centre-half would pick up and then just recycle it to Xhaka and Partey, and then we go again, and then we go again. We were relentless in that second half, and it's because of that midfield. It's because of the back line. It's because of the whole team. That's why we're going through it 1-11. But actually, that midfield just controls and suffocates opponents, and I love it.
And that's why Partey's really important, Cookie, so you're not going to say anything about injuries, are you?
No, I'm going to keep my mouth quiet on Xhaka. God forbid he gets injured.
Oh, my God. Don't. And it's so true. I mean, look at this. Would we have been saying this 2-3 years ago? Is that from Fiona? Xhaka is just brilliant. He is. And you're totally right, Chris, isn't he, James, about the fact that our midfield is like, they're like midfield generals now, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. We've not seen anything like it since the Invincible days, if we're being completely honest. It's nice to have such an authoritative, mature midfield, because Xhaka's 30, Partey's 29, and Ødegaard's arguably the best player in the Premier League at the minute. So we've got all of that going in our favour, but also they're three really, really, really good footballers, and that always helps. So yeah, it's refreshing to see, but we need a little bit of backup for them.
Okay, yeah, we do. And that can lead us on to our new signing, Jakob Kivior. I think I've said it right.
Well done, Amanda.
Do you like it? I like the fact you're going with phonetics. Talk to me about Jakob Livior.
Kivior. Woman.
He went well the first time.
Well, I can't pretend to be an absolute expert in Italian football. I'm sure James has probably seen more Italian football than I can, or our good friend Giles can probably tell us a million things. Grimaldi tweets about Jakob Kivior, but centre half. I've heard a couple of people say I don't think he'll play defensive central midfield, but there's rumours that Elneny is injured at the moment.
Oh,
and if Partey gets injured, then why would we not play a guy who last season made 22 appearances as a defensive midfielder? Like, he's not going to be Partey, but that's what we've just said. Like, we can't get a replacement for Partey, but you need to have somebody in there, because Lokonga looks more like a number eight. So in my head, if you're going to completely rotate a team, or if you're going to say Partey's out injured for a game or two, and you don't want to use Elneny, then why not try this guy? He's got experience of doing it last season. I think he normally, when I looked at the last few games that Spezia have played, he's either played as a left centre-back in a three or as the centre-back in a three. So he's coming into a team that's slightly different. But I think this is a superb signing by Arsenal. It's a really shrewd signing. Versatility, a player that can play different positions, is the right sort of age profile. And again, like we said earlier, left-footed centre-half or left-footed players are quite difficult to come across. And so we've got ourselves an understudy to Gabriel, because Gabriel's been playing basically every single game because Arteta likes a lefty. So this guy can now come in if we've got a Europa League game, or if he wants to do some rotation for Man City. I mean, I'm not sure how much rotation he'll do, but he can do that now. He could rotate every single one of our players. Like, because if you think about it, you can go Turner, you could go Tomiyasu, you could go Holding, you could go Kivior, you could go Tierney, you could go Elneny, you can go Lokonga, you can go Vieira, and then you can have a different sort of front three as well. So we've actually got options now with Trossard as well. So it's good. This is really good.
And Daniel's saying he's signed on a 4.5-year deal, which is nice. And he's only 22, which is brilliant. So I don't know much about him. I wouldn't even say I do. James, do you know anything about him?
No.
No,
I know absolutely nothing about him.
But we would like to welcome him to the Arsenal family. Welcome, Jakob. Look forward to seeing you soon. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to start with Martinelli, and I'm just going to pick you up on something, James. You said that Martin Odegaard's probably the best player in the league at the moment. Over Saka?
Oh, you throw me a bit there.
I'm going to come back to you on that.
You said Martinelli at the start, so I wasn't prepared.
No, I was going to go to
question.
Martinelli, but it was interesting because I just thought, okay.
No. I do have you right. It would be a real toss-up between the two at the minute, but I think I'm purely going for Ødegaard at the minute because of how important his role is to the team and how he influences pretty much everyone around him. But for pure individual brilliance... Oh, God. I don't know. I can't watch this right now.
Whoever thinks, I'm going to go to Chris about Martinelli. So, Martinelli yesterday, it didn't really work for him, did it, Chris? It hasn't really worked for him the last few games. However, we've not really noticed that because we're winning. So, if we're winning, does it matter so much? Let him play. I mean, he wasn't terrible or anything. It's just... I can't remember the last time he scored.
Perhaps there's a bit of a residual hangover from the... Brazil sort of situation, because when you're a Brazilian and you get chosen for the Seleção, I think that's how they say it, Seleção, then you have that's a big thing for those guys. And so being knocked out when they were knocked out, maybe that's had a knock-on impact for him. I don't know. But one of the good things, and this is one of the benefits of Trossard, like, so if Martinelli is starting to look like somebody that maybe towards the end of a match, is he fading a bit? Do we need to change it up a bit? Trossard came in for Martinelli last night and actually impacted on the third goal and was, I thought, was pretty good. You know, and that's exactly what we want. We want impact. And what it means as well is that Martinelli's got an extra, he's got 20 minutes less in his legs. Maybe that helps him in terms of, you know, he needs to be refreshed a little bit. So I don't know. He's not been amazing, but he hasn't been rubbish. He's just been all right, I would say. He's still a threat.
Yeah, I think it's just been all right. That's what I would say as well. But then Trossard came on. And I mean, how lovely is that, isn't it, James, to see? We only signed him about 5 minutes before, didn't we? So it was lovely to get him on the pitch. What do you think on the Martinelli thing? Do you agree with Chris or have you got other views?
Yeah, he's a little bit out of sorts. I don't think he's been bad since the return of football. You know, he scored against West Ham, scored against Brighton. Pretty sure he got a decent assist in the game against Oxford as well. So it's not like his output's been way off and his contribution's been way off. So no issues there for me. It's just he's such an explosive player and we've not really seen him be explosive in the past couple of games. And in fairness, he was playing against a very good Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's kind of turned his career around recently. So, you know, there's no shame in having a necessarily ineffective game there. I do think he got better as the game went on. There was a moment where he did, you know, beat about two people, put a wicked cross into the box, went to nowhere. But apart from that, yeah, he is a little bit out of sorts. But maybe that's because his position has been so safe and so assured that he's not really had to look over his shoulder at someone behind him. Well, now we've got Trossard, who I think, looking ahead to that game against City, which we'll touch on, if there's one player I would be switching up, it would be Trossard for Martinelli, because I think what he showed in that 10 minutes was he's just got so much quality. He was very Cazorla-esque almost. When he had about five people around him, he still got out of a tricky situation. His impact on the third goal. He's really speedy as well, which I didn't quite know he had in his locker. So I think that would be a sensible change to make on Friday.
Did you not think he just slot in like he'd been there for months and months? He just came on it didn't feel like a debut that we was all watching and seeing what he was like. He just slotted into our play.
He's an Arsenal player.
And that is another Mikel factor, isn't it? He's bringing in players that just are slotting in. I mean, we're forgetting we've got Marquinhos, Vieira. What a squad we're getting now with Yaka. Oh, and I actually wanted him to come on yesterday as well. Okay, so where was I going now? Right, so I don't know what else we can say about Saka. He is not only, and I will say this, he's a world class. He would walk into any team and he's outstanding, Chris. Outstanding. Yeah. That goal yesterday, again, so where I sit, it literally is in front of us, Harry's shot, and can wax lyrical about him all day.
Yeah. Do you know what was really good? The best angle of that is the camera angle from behind the goal, because you see that the ball starts outside of the post and then just curls into the corner. It was absolutely fantastic. The way he just dropped a shoulder to give himself some space to then to beat Eriksen, to then put it in. It was brilliant. And what I love about Saka is he's skillful, but he's not like a, you know, a step over merchant. He's not like, I'm going to beat 10 players. He's a really economical and clinical footballer. Like, he will go inside if he needs to. He will go on the outside if he needs to. And he just seems like he's just as strong on either side. And because of that, he's really difficult to actually play against, because you don't know whether or not you're going to get a Saka that's going to drive down the line or a Saka that's going to come infield. But that's it. You get players like Ronaldo or Eden Hazard or players like that are just sort of like dribble merchants. He can dribble, but if he needs to, he's going to take a shot. If he needs to, he's going to go down the line. If he needs to, he'll do a 1-2. He's just got his footballing intelligence is through the roof. And for someone at 21 years old to be playing like that, it's phenomenal. The sky is the limit for him, honestly.
However, James, as Carl said, he needs to sign his contract. I can't see him going anywhere, can you?
No, I'm just going to touch very quickly on what you were saying there, Chris, because I think his game is interesting because he doesn't really sprint, does he? He plays at kind of half pace, He slows everything around him down to his pace, and he makes everyone else play how he wants to play. But because he's got that footballing intelligence, he can play a quick 1-2 with someone like Ødegaard, and bang, he's away really, really quickly. He knows where he needs to be. He knows where his teammates need to be. And if he can start adding this other dimension to his game where he's able to shoot from outside the box, I mean, that's when we're talking about him being a serious world-class player. I think he's already there for me, but if he can start doing goals like that on, I'm not going to say a regular basis, because that is a worldie, it's not going to happen every couple of games, but if he could do a couple of those a season, Iron Robin-esque, oh, what a player. I mean, we've already got a phenomenal player, but what an even better player we would have. And you just think about how much better he can be. I didn't think he could get much better than the level he was at playing at a couple of months ago, but he just gets better and better and better. And it's crazy to think he's, you know, he's not even 21 and a half yet. Like, it's crazy to think that. But yeah, he does need to sign his contract extension. I'm not sweating over that. Got absolutely no doubts whatsoever that he'll be signed up to a new contract soon.
And as Daniel Shaw said, Luke Shaw's still in Saka's pocket. I mean, he's unplayable at the moment. He really is. It'd be very remiss of me not to say, would you mind all pressing like and subscribing to the Same Old Arsenal on YouTube? And when the show's finished, if you could just put a comment in the comment box. The more you do this, the more traction we get and the more chance we have of staying up on air. Isn't that good? So press like if you're top of the league, of course. Love Saka. Okay, Eddie. Well, he missed the chance yesterday. He should have scored. And then I didn't cheer for the third goal. I thought it was offside.
Me neither.
Not many did, if I remember correctly. And we just, like, Carl thought he was onside and none of us did. So he's jumping and I'm going, I'm sorry, I'm waiting. I just sat back. I stood up, sat back, looked at the screen like that and was waiting for VAR. I knew VAR was coming. I quickly WhatsApped my dad, who was at home watching. He didn't come back to me and I'm sitting there going, oh my God, this is the worst, because I don't even know the time. I didn't know it was 90 minutes. But you see, the thing is, at the very beginning when Eddie came in, he got a lot of pressure, a lot of talk, a lot of bad talk. And I think it's very unfair. You've got to give someone a chance. We don't know what this Jacob Kivior is like. We just got to give people a chance. And wow, Chris, is he taking his chance?
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. Like, honestly, how many of us were sat there when Gabriel Jesus picked up his injury in the World Cup going, that's fine. You know, Eddie will just bag us, what is it, like 6 goals in like 6 games, I think he's on since the December restart. Not. I don't think many of us thought that, but man has stepped up and looking like a real predator as well. Like the goal, the first goal that he scores, he's just, I've rewatched it a few times. He's just in the back post. He's just sort of ambling a little bit. And then suddenly, just as Xhaka is about to play the ball, you see him dart inside. And Wan-Bissaka, as James was saying, he's had a really good season. But Wan-Bissaka was, oh no, it was Malacia, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was Wan-Bissaka.
Wan-Bissaka at the back post was, he was just watching. He's just, all he could do was watch as Eddie just ghosted inside.
That is remiss of me. Sorry, Chris, that is remiss of me. We didn't talk about the second goal. That was a beautiful goal. That was a beautiful headed goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. The really, really good one. A good finish and predatory. And then the third goal, again, just striker's instinct, just being able to nudge it on. And I've watched it a couple of times. And I think that the ball's actually going wide unless he gets that touch. So it's not like he has just sort of flicked it in. I think it was probably just going wide, because I think it was Ødegaard that just kind of dragged it wide with his shot. It kind of took a deflection. But Eddie, to have that instinct. But again, like you, Amanda, I didn't celebrate. I was just like, they won't allow this. You know, we don't get nice things like this. But actually, we do this season. And we do get nice things. We're having nice things almost every week. And it's
every
amazing
day. I mean, what a week I had last week. We beat Spurs. I meet Freddie Ljungberg. We beat United. And we sign Trossard. We sign Kivior. I mean, come on. That is a good Arsenal week. Cookie, so the goal by Eddie, I loved. What a header. What a cross from Xhaka. I think it was Xhaka, wasn't it? Wasn't it Xhaka onto his head? Yeah. I love that. I think Eddie is becoming that poacher that we needed. Okay. he did well last season, didn't he, towards the end? And then obviously we got Jesus. It's going to be, as I was sitting in the car on the way home, I said, if Eddie continues like this, I wouldn't put Jesus straight back in the team. Exactly what you said, James. I just wouldn't do it because you don't change a winning team for a start. And then he goes and scores that goal in, was it the 90th minute? I don't even know. I literally had the ump because I was 100% convinced they were going to disallow it. I thought Zinny was offside. I thought someone was offside. When they didn't, it was a really weird celebration. Did you not think? Because it suddenly dawned on us that, oh my God, we're 3-2 up. No one knew how long there was to go. I kept asking everybody around me, how long to go? How long? I didn't know what the time was because I don't remember them holding up 5 minutes. And then I was just thinking, oh my God, we're actually going to win this.
Yeah, it was so surreal. I think just going very quickly back to your point about Eddie being a poacher, I think he's just got so much more to his game than that now. And just to call him that, I think it's a bit of a disservice, to be honest, because he's just got that other dimension to his game that he didn't have necessarily last season, where he's bringing other players into it. He's got an eye for a pass. He can hold up the ball. And it's not like he's just tapping the ball in. He's got lots of different varieties of how he's putting the ball in the net. So he's definitely upgraded in these past 6 months. He's become a real fantastic player physically and mentally. His intelligence of the game has gotten a lot better as well. And he's just such a huge asset. If you'd have said our strikers would have gone from Lacazette and Aubameyang to Jesus and Ketia, I mean, a lot of people might have looked at that as a bit of a downgrade. But I think it goes to show that when you look at a player like Aubameyang, who was playing as our central striker at the beginning of last season, and he was getting, you know, the odd goal here and there at the start of last season, but was never influencing the game in the way that Nketia is. And yeah, he was just fantastic. And that last goal just capped off what was, again, another really solid performance from him. I couldn't really not celebrate the goal because I was getting grabbed by the guy sitting to my left. So I was kind of forced into it. But like you, my heart was in my mouth. When it got given, I was just bedlam. I was sat, people grabbing me from everywhere. You know, I'm amazed my coat and glasses stayed on, to be honest. But yeah, it was very reminiscent of when we got that last minute winner against Wolves last season, except this was 10 times better. So yeah, I loved it.
Do you know, I mean, you'll back me up on this. I don't know if you noticed this, but every single seat in the ground was taken. Every part of club level, which is normally half empty because they're all inside drinking wine, watching on TV, was gone. I couldn't see a seat for love nor money. And this is what's happening at the moment. I'm getting private messages galore asking for tickets. I've never been asked for tickets before. I can't get any tickets, by the way. It's becoming like the fortress, like Anfield, isn't it? It's becoming like we go 1-0 down. No worries, we'll get it back. The confidence, the connection between us, the team and the club is the best I think I've ever known it. It reminds me a little bit of when George Graham came and started off where really he has laid these foundations before Wenger came. That the connection started 89, especially, obviously. But this is different. And maybe because I'm a lot older as well, I don't know. But I just feel like they're like all my kids out there, my family. You know, we're all protective of them, aren't we? You know, wherever I go, obviously everyone knows I'm Arsenal. So people are always talking to me about football now, especially now. I was at the charity do and we were just talking about Saka and Odegaard and, you know, Tottenham fans are beside themselves. I could just only imagine. Because interestingly, when we went to Tottenham last year and we lost badly. We had Rob Holding doing what Rob Holding did. We had the referee. We had Son the lot. It was all going wrong. And I remember saying to Cole, next season it can all change. This may be the best thing that's ever happened to us that we didn't get in the Champions League. It may be the best thing because sometimes out of bad comes good. My God, we are 50 points. We've got 50 points and we're 19 games in. For this person who was asking about the yellow cards, they stop now. They go back to 10. I think, because we've done 19 games. So we haven't got to worry. The last couple of weeks, we've been worrying about Saliba getting one, Saka getting one, Gabriel getting one. Doesn't matter anymore. I'm just so proud of this. It's made me so emotional last night. And when the final whistle went, I don't even remember people leaving. We were all singing and dancing. The players were clapping us. It was, they played the Saka song. I don't even remember what time I even left. It was amazing. And what I always try and do is play a video for all the people, the overseas fans, people that just can't get there to experience it. And I do apologise. I always sing to North London Forever. And I did post a video and I've got the worst verse on the planet, but you get the gist. And then we've got all the Ashburton Army. We've got the most incredible connection. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's like no one can beat us. I mean, not football-wise, but I mean, just generally, we're just one, aren't we, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, but it's happening. It starts off 4 years ago, you'd get like basically the red action section where everyone stands up and sings. And that's where, and occasionally you'd get little ripples around the ground. And then in the last 18 months, we've had the 2 years, we've had the Ashburton Arby, which is the other side of the ground. And we're feeding off of like us in the North Bank are feeding off of those guys and they're feeding off of us. I mean, they feed off of themselves, to be fair, they're that good. But also the East and West stands are singing a lot more. And that's, that's normally the quiet seats. That's normally the sit down and politely clap. And, you know, I remember I've sat in the East Stand, I've sat in the West Stand, upper and lower. And I've had times where like people are like, can you sit down, please? Or they tut when you're singing. But everyone's on board with this. Everyone's up now. Everyone's singing. Everyone's standing. Everyone's cheering. It's just amazing.
I'll tell you what else I don't hear. And you're right about the East, and because obviously I've always been East upper and we sing. Yeah, but it's not. We actually started off loads of songs yesterday. We actually started off one of the, I can't remember, one of the Saka songs, I think, and it went round to the North Bank. So it is everywhere. The only thing I don't like about the Ashburton Army is the drum, but I'm not going to go about that anymore. I love them. I think they're amazing. I think they just bring the most amazing atmosphere to the clock end. Just don't like the drum. But yeah, it's just beautiful, isn't it, James? It's just a beautiful atmosphere.
It's such a good place to be at the minute. I love going to the Emirates more than anything at the moment. It's just what I'm living for. All I can think about is football at the minute.
Yeah.
Just can't get my mind off anything else. I wake up thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about it. I just wish we had more games to play. And I tell you what, I can't wait for the Europa League to come back around as well, because then we get to go to the Emirates even more.
It is true. Carl said, come and sit with us, Chris. I'm a noisy bugger. He's got no voice. He's moaned all day. He's had a sore throat. I'm not joking. He's lost his voice. It is just, I don't know. He gave me earache yesterday. He wants to know if I'm on the train. And this is what I was saying at the beginning. I am on the train. I do believe we can win the league. I'm going to say it right now. I haven't said it because I said, got to beat United first. And there was a couple of other things I wanted to say. Yes, and you're definitely on the train. Are you on the train, you two? Where are you at the moment, James?
You know, I believe there's a possibility we can win it. I think if and when we beat Man City on the 14th of February, then I'll, or 15th of February, whatever it is. I'll be first class ticket on that train. But until we play that game, because I think, you know, we've passed a lot of litmus tests this season, but City's obviously mentally such a massive game. So, yeah, that game in February is huge for me.
Chris?
No, I'm not yet. But okay. In my head, so I've got milestones, though, in my head. This was a really big one, like the halfway stage and beating Man United and getting to 50 points is massive. In my head, I'm still trying to keep my feet on the ground and thinking, our target this season was top four. We should get that now. So, and people are talking about like, oh, this is the best chance Arsenal are ever going to have of potentially winning the league. This is only the beginning. Like the age of our team is so young that we could be even better next year.
And we could dominate for years.
So for me, I'm still like, do you know what? Man City are a juggernaut. We're at halfway, you know. It only takes a couple of, they're so relentless. It will take a couple of bad performances and, you know, we could be in trouble. But as you said, Cookie, we've got that game on the 15th. We play City away, FA Cup. I'm in my mind, I'm half sort of writing that off. you know, whatever on Friday. We've got Everton away the following week, and we've got Brentford at home the following weekend, and then midweek is that Man City game. If we can beat Everton, you beat Brentford, that means we've played 20 and we go into their 21st game, Man United, Man City. In my head, 25, match day 25, if we are 5 points clear at match day 25, that's when I'm on. And I think that'll probably be like a Fulham away in March or Palace. That's
well, our
be-
next 10 games, bar the City one, and I think there's a trip to Anfield in there as well, they're pretty good. They're pretty favourable. I mean, there's no easy games, but it's April that worries me. There's some really tricky games in there. I think, you know, we still go to Newcastle away. That's going to be a really tough game. But if, you know, anything outside of that, I've got full belief in this team. But it's just, yeah, I'm basing everything on that City game.
However, when every, and I would say 99% of Gooners started the season, this is what John's saying. The season was about finishing the top four. Anything else would be a bonus. So let's enjoy the moment. I can't tell you much, John. And hi, darling. I can't tell you much, John. I've been saying to everyone, enjoy it all. As you said, James, you can't wait to get to the stadium. We can't wait. I can't wait for the atmosphere. I love singing and everything anyway. I love the fact that, you know, the passion and the support. I love the fact that you go 1-0 down. There isn't a boo around me. There isn't a bloke moaning. No one moans around us. It, and that used to be a lot. It is just incredible. I'm just loving it. I actually really struggled today to sort of stop smiling. And even my director, who's never spoken to me about football before, came in and went, bet you're happy. I went, well, actually, I thought we'd go 1-0 down. He goes, I thought you were going to lose it in the first half. And I said, yeah, but we're Arsenal, aren't we? They're West Ham. They don't want to talk either. But no, it's really great. Big smiles all round. Listen, everybody, it has been amazing. We're just going to do a few more bits. Chris, if you have to shoot, I know you had said, but he's going to shoot, so it'll just be me and Cookie.
Love you guys.
I love you. Thank you, Christopher.
See you
Thank
later.
You for coming on.
See
Bye,
you, Chris.
Bourbon. So we're just going to continue for a little bit more, James, if that's okay. The atmosphere is incredible. I want to just talk to you about Mikel Arteta getting the yellow card.
Yeah. Bit bizarre. I mean, looking back at it, I think he's been very unfortunate to get it, but it's been brewing, hasn't it? Because there's been so much talk about him, and you know your mate Richard Keys has been going on about him for so very long. So yeah, I'm not particularly surprised. I mean, does it really mean anything? No, not really. I think he had a fair point though, didn't he? Because he was protesting about the four tackles that Shaw had made, and there'd been no yellow cards. And it's not like he was particularly vigorous in what he was doing. He wasn't really in the officials' faces, but I just think the officials don't quite like being told how to do their job, which is why he ended up getting penalised for it. And in the end, he didn't really seem to have too many issues about it. So you know, it happens. It's done. Draw a line under it. Move on.
I liked his interview about it. He said, we can all do better in life. I love our manager so much. And it is true, actually. Typical ref, Shaw commits a foul and Arteta gets a yellow. It was so true. Phil Macca said, Gary Neville obsessing about Arteta running up and down the line did my nut. I know exactly. I think Gary Neville and Richard Keys are not going to cope if we win the league. I'm telling you that. Let's quickly move on to what you sort of said at the beginning, and this is what I was talking about to Carl. Everton next with new manager. I hate the new manager bounce. Pete, I said it straight away to Carl, went, oh my God, why could we have not played Everton last week or something? Because they are really poor at the moment. They bring a new manager in, James, you know what can happen.
Yeah, exactly. Depends who the new manager is. I think there's a lot of talk around Sean Dyche being the new coach there, who would probably be a good appointment for them at the minute. I hope that that's not sorted by the time we come to play them and they've got some sort of interim in. But irrespective of that, they are still a poor team. No getting away from that. Their recruitment has been dreadful over the past couple of years. They've spent loads of money on players that have just left the club. They've just kind of evaporated into thin air. And they're just a very beatable team. I would be beyond disappointed if we didn't go there and win comfortably. Or at least just get the 3 points, because you can't drop... If you're going for the title, you cannot drop points in any circumstances. And again, player for player, we are a better team. So if we play the way we're used to playing, if we don't get cocky, stay humble, then whoever is in charge of that game, we should have no problems beating them.
There is, Carl. There is not always a new manager bounce. There generally is. Let's hope this time it's not going to affect us. Cookie, so Friday night we go to City away in the FA Cup. Strange this, isn't it? Because we're sitting here thinking we know the league to us is more important, but this is also a very important trophy. And we could do the double. No one's even spoken about it.
Maybe we could do the treble.
Well, the treble is the Champions League, but yes, if it was the Europa League, yes, I get that. I said last year when we didn't hit top four, I bet we go unbound and win the Europa League next year. I don't know if we've got enough in our tank to do the treble, but you know what? We go and win every game. Who knows? What's your prediction for Friday night?
Honestly, I can't really call it. I do think we'll rotate. I just hope it's not really, really, really heavy rotation. I don't want to see, you know, an overly rotated lineup, because I do want to give us a fighting chance in this game. But I also want to see Trossard start. I'd like to see Smith Rowe start. And then, you know, I'd like maybe the new guy, I'd like to see Jakob start. So sensible rotation. Vieira, obviously, he needs to get a game as well. But I do worry if we start bringing in people like Lokonga and Holding, that it might just stretch us. It will stretch us too much, to be honest, because they've got very good quality and depth. But at the same time, I mean, where we are at this point in the season, this is kind of a normal game week, really. It's not like we're playing midweek and we've got an important game coming up. We've got, you know, a good bit of rest going into this game, and we've got a good bit of rest after this game. So it could be quite nice to see something like a midfield of Partey, Xhaka, Vieira, just to mix up a little bit, give Ødegaard a rest. And then on the flanks, instead of having Martinelli and Saka, have Smith Rowe and Trossard, keep Eddie through the middle. And then just at the back, bring in Tierney and Tomiyasu, and then have Turner in goal. I mean, they're already just said you've got a load of rotations that you made there without losing huge amounts of quality. Obviously, it's how they'll perform as a unit, but that is quality additions you're bringing into the team. So I'd like to see a team like that. But I mean, City, you know, they're just so inevitable. I'm going to be optimistic. I think we'll go there. I think we'll win 2-1.
Okay, cool. Everyone in the chat room, what do you think? 1-1. Does it? What happens then? Is it a replay or does it go to extra time?
Yeah, replay.
Replay. No, we don't want a replay. That's for sure. I'm just going to put this up. Thank you so much, Unique, for your donation. That is lovely. Hopefully Craig can put that towards getting the laptop fixed, because Craig needs to come back. We want Craig back. We sign Trossard. We sign Kiwar. Gabriel Jesus waiting in the tunnel to hug the boys, which is, I was going to talk about that. There is something special going at Arsenal, and Zinchenko is absolutely phenomenal. A future captain for me. There is unity. We now need a central midfielder. Okay. All back Kivior. Maybe he is that central midfielder. Who knows? We need to keep Partey fit. Thank you so much, Unique 79, for your donation. That's lovely. We're going to end the show now. So what I think we're going to lose on Friday night, if I'm honest.
Oh, well, that's a spirit.
Oh, no, there's a spirit. And I don't think it'll be... do I think we'll lose? I think just maybe. Depends what the teams are. It's very hard to say.
I think if we lose, but we still put in a... you know, a decent performance. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. I mean, can you imagine if we won the league and won the Europa League? What a season that would be.
Oh, my life. Don't. Carl said, fully rotate the side. I don't care how we do on Friday. The league is everything. I think that's what I'm thinking. Now, very interestingly, Carl and I can't watch the match on Friday. All I can say is thank God it's not at home. We're going to a night with the Invincibles. We're going to one of the shows that's been booked. And thank you very much to my other half for a Christmas present. But everybody in the audience is going to be sitting there on their phones, aren't they? Quickly looking at the scores. So, I'm going to go, can't go for a draw, can I? Because it'll just go for that. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm not going to say a loss. Absolutely not. Thank you, Unique 79. Thank you so much. See Robert saying 2-1 City win kills me right in that. Plus, Phil Macker said, plus City don't have a downgrade 11. See, the thing is, I don't know what he's going to do because we're not playing for another week. We've got Everton the week after. We'll be back some point after the City, Saturday, Sunday or Monday. But if you don't want to miss a show, please subscribe. It really does mean a lot to us. And please comment in the YouTube box as well. Please press like. You've all been amazing. Our team is amazing. We're top of the league, which is amazing. Cookie, tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
You can just find me on Twitter at jecook96.
Thank you all for your lovely comments as well. I'm so pleased you're enjoying the shows. Next month, I've got some really, really good guests coming up. A couple of controversial ones and a couple of ones that you're going to absolutely love. Great show as always. Great comments in the chat. See you all next week. Up the Arsenal. Always Arsenal. I think that is the perfect way to finish it. Thank you, Nigel Plum. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much. Please press like. Please subscribe. Please come back to the next show. Cookie, you've been great. Thanks to Chris as well. I love you all. I'm so happy. I don't know what to do with myself every day. All I do is think about the Arsenal. Good night, everyone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.